If not, can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Collins.
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Lieberman. Roll call, please.
Great. Commissioner Collins?
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Audi?
Yes.
Commissioner Gary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Moving on to item eight, business items. A, consideration of resolution amending and extending credit agreement with Wells Fargo Bank National Association for a line of credit.
Matt will give this presentation. Matt?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This item is to, as Commissioner Aguirre said, to renew the line of credit. We've had a line of credit since 2012. We use the line of credit as kind of a bridge financing for the construction expenditures. So it's a very useful tool for us, especially as we're entering into some SRF loan activity. The current line of credit expires in May of 2021. So thus we're bringing this forward now. We are nearly, maybe the next slide, Alicia. I'm sorry, Jessica. The next slide shows that we are at the point where we need some liquidity for the project. We anticipate funding the balance of the rescue program through an SRF loan. And so that SRF loan really is going to be important to us, A, to make sure our costs are as low as possible. But the mechanism of the SRF loan requires us to first pay the contractor, or we pay the contractor, after which we seek reimbursement from the state. And we can use this line of credit. Now, in the mode where we're spending $15 million a month, that can add up. And by the time we collect, remit to the state, they review, they reimburse, that process could take up to 90 days, possibly 120 days. We're prepared for that eventuality. And that's why we're asking to actually increase the size of the accordion feature, the ability to increase the amount of money we can draw at any given time. So with that, I propose, or we're asking for authorization to amend the line of credit with Wells Fargo and extend it for 3 more years at the same conditions as currently, but with an additional capacity.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Matt. Any questions from commissioners? Commissioner Lieberman?
Yep, thank you. Matt, if I understand correctly, if we wanted to continue this line of credit, we would need to do an amendment anyway, just for the time frame. And I'm just kind of trying to confirm, even if we did it at 65 million, it would still be 30,000. So the 75 million is basically just giving you and the agency some extra leeway should we need more than the current amount. And it's not that that incurs additional cost. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I should have been more clear on that. It will incur slightly more cost to have an additional $10 million of capacity. And we pay for that in what's called an undrawn fee. I believe that's 25 basis points. I could do some quick math, but there is some cost to availing ourselves of that. We think it's still worthwhile pursuing that.
Okay. So just, yeah. So the thing that I want to make sure then is that while you're not anticipating that we're going to use that additional funding, you want to have that available to you because you at least think there must be a reasonable chance that we could use it and it'll be useful if we do. Is that right?
That's correct. That's exactly correct. And the cost would be $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
For the period that we have this open.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from commissioners? Not, can we get a motion to approve item 8A?
I'll move this item.
Okay, Commissioner Audi and second by Commissioner Lieberman. Call, please.
Commissioner Collins?
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes.
Commissioner Audi?
Yes.
Commissioner Gary?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the last item, item 8B, receive a presentation of the fiscal year 21-22 proposed annual operating and capital expenditure budget.
Right, and I'm just going to kick this off and then Matt will take the majority of the presentation. And I just wanted to tee this up, just give a little background. Knowing that the state of the economy is still a little tenuous and remaining impacted from COVID, as we're putting together the budget this year, I gave direction to our directors that we really need to keep this year's budget as trim as absolutely possible. And that means, you know, looking at those discretionary items very closely and seeing where we can maybe push them off, if that makes sense from an agency standpoint. And I think that our staff did a really excellent job. One of the goals that I set for our staff was to try to keep the budget to a 3% or less increase, which basically we are able to do. And the reason we are able to do that is three primary reasons. One is that the, as you know, we had a lot of vacancies due to retirement, and those were filled with folks that are less tenured and come in at a lower salary rate than those that were leaving, you know, people that were here 20, 30 years at the, and who were at their top of their step, being filled with folks that are closer to the bottom of their ranges. The other part is that our cogeneration system is now able to be used at 100% of capacity, rather than where we had to cut it off at about 78% of capacity due to PG&E. And previous to our 12 kV switchgear, we could not export power, so we had to really limit the amount of cogeneration we had. So we're expecting now that we can run the engines at 100% capacity, we'll gain a lot of money, or minimize the cost on having to buy electricity. And then, as I noted early on, the ability to minimize discretionary expenditures was makes up a small part of that. So with that, I'll let Matt get into the gory details of the thing.
Right. Thank you, Teresa. Right, as Teresa said, ordinarily in some years, we're doing what we call roll-ups or rounds of reviews with different divisions. Anywhere from five times. I've had some years here where we rolled this up nine times after reviewing and cutting and reviewing and cutting to get to a point where we're satisfied with those numbers. And this year was only two rounds. And even that was not a large adjustment from the first round. So kudos to the directors for bringing in very, I think, scrutinized budgets this year. What we're doing today is we're going to go through a series of slides. And we'll compare this proposed budget to three different kind of scenarios. One is that we look budget to budget. And then the second one, we'll look at the actual forecast, which is an interesting year of this pandemic, and compare this year's actual forecast to next year's proposed budget. And then the third one is more of a check on how are we doing versus the long-range finance plan that we're tracking. We update that every year. So on the screen in front of us, it does say 2021. That should be 21-22, but we'll move forward from here. This slide showing you is the budget to budget highlights. Like Teresa said, the gross operating expenditures coming in at 2.67%. We'll go into some details as to why, but it's mostly personnel costs related. The miscellaneous revenue line, you see that decrease in miscellaneous revenue. That largely is due to the ending of a PG&E grant that we were earning for cogen. For 5 years, we earned, depending on how we performed, this year being the last year of that, with the amount of energy we'll produce, we were able to get some grant money of around $250,000 or so. So that program is ending, and we'll see that going forward to be flat. In the middle there's something, the revenue funded capital projects, that's sort of the PAYGO capital. That's an ordinary 1.5 million every year. And this year we're very close to that ordinary value. And then at the bottom, we'll have those two lines, reserve designations. And this is for CIP reserves. The commission's, we have a policy in place to build that CIP reserve. It's upwards of 20 million or so now. And we'll continue to build that. And we updated that policy, if you recall, about 6 months ago. And the last line is the debt service of all of our, to pay off all of the debt that we've been borrowing for the capital improvement program. That's a slight improvement, and that improvement is a result of the recent refunding of the bonds that we performed. In just last week or 2 weeks ago, we were able to sell those bonds to refund prior debt and get some lower interest rates. And we'll go into some details from here. Next slide speaks to the long-range finance plan. And as I said, it's a comparison just to make sure that we're hitting our marks. So where we were a year ago, January of 2020, we thought we would be spending $55 million this year, largely because if you look at that very bottom line, that debt service at the time, we were not sure we were going to get SRF loans. We were not sure what WIFIA would be closing at. And so we had these assumptions in there, conservative assumptions, that we would have to be issuing, we would have to issue wastewater revenue bonds at a higher price than certainly the programs, the government related loan programs. So that was the good news, is that those went straight to the bottom line, and we reduced some costs for the members that way. Otherwise, a fairly straightforward comparison. The miscellaneous let revenue line does speak to that cogen plus some other programs that are not occurring, but we'll be keeping an eye on that. Next slide. And this is where we spend a lot of time, is versus forecast. We look at this year's 2021 forecast, compare that to next year's proposed budget, and we see that, I've got ahead of myself. This particular slide, this one is to measure what we call the impact of COVID-19 on our operations. An unusual year, and as that was occurring, we saw the impact in a couple of different ways. We did see some vacancies occur, you know, when people were retiring earlier than planned. We had some recent sudden retirements. We had people moving to other agencies. And as that occurred, we didn't fill those positions immediately. So you'll see that the largest impact from that would be this attribution of not filling the vacancies as quickly. Now, since then, those vacancies are filled and will be filled next year. So thus you'll get into some other comparisons later, but that is the largest impact on there. Otherwise, we're looking at some temporary, what we call temporary decline in other types of expenditures. You know, whether it was work that could be temporarily deferred, materials that were not purchased, some training and travel and conferences that did not occur, but those are not sustainable either and will return, we think, to ordinary. So we're going to finish this year almost $900,000 less than budget. So that kind of suppresses this year's numbers, and it makes next year's budget percentage larger when you compare to the forecast. But we will get into that in the next slide.
Hey, Matt, can I interject here? Maybe just invite any questions as we go along rather than waiting to the end.
Sure. Yeah, if I see a hand, I'll. So in the meantime, with the reorganization that was announced in January, that's also something that we wanted to demonstrate that has some influence on the comparisons. And I think as Teresa presented, was it last month or perhaps the month before, the reorganization was going to be, you know, at worst a cost neutral proposal. When we quantify it, it's showing that we actually do save some money for the organization. Largely, there is one supervisory position that will not be filled. It was transferred to a different department in a different capacity, but it left behind the function was transferred, but it left behind the supervisory role that wasn't really justified for the two people in that organization. So I'll be managing them directly, but in the meantime, it does save some money. The other thing you'll see is that between divisions, there is some cost shifting. namely for some facilities types of work that used to be performed in the administration procurement role. That's now going to maintenance. Laboratory used to do a number of permit management, and the cost of those permits was managed in the laboratory group. That is going to engineering. So you'll see some of that activity influenced in these numbers here. And then the headcounts moved around between divisions with that reorganization as well. But the good news is that the reorganization does save some cost. The following slide speaks to the proposed budget versus the forecast. So yes, as I said earlier, when you have a budget that is, a forecast that is going to come in less than planned, that comparison shows a 6% increase overall. And depending on the line item, you'll see where that increase or decrease might be. So personnel, there's the filling of those vacancies. There's normal, ordinary contractual step and merit cost increase for the large proportion of our staff. Utilities does go down versus the forecast. Two reasons. One, as Teresa said, we're increasing the use of cogen and able to run that closer to 100% than we could prior. The second reason is that this particular year in 2021, cogen suffered some outages, and during those outages, more utility costs was incurred for electricity. So that will not reoccur next year, not budgeted to reoccur next year. So you'll see that decline versus the forecast. Other lines, all favorable. And you'll see, you know, as to why in these brief descriptions, whether it will be returning to normal maintenance activity. We do have some price increases for chemicals, and training will reoccur as normal as well. So if there are any questions on this slide, if not, we'll move into the budget allocation. So this slide is a little small to read, but it's an important one because what we do every year is that we take those first three rows, which are the flow and the loading for the BOD and the suspended solids. We measure that throughout the year, and we measure that by pump station. And then those numbers are attributed to the member that is bringing the flow or bringing the solids and the materials to the plant. Now, it's a zero-sum game. So all of the dollars that are budgeted are allocated accordingly to 100%. So if I add those values up, you'll see on the right, that's 100% for flow, BOD, and suspended solids. This year, we saw, and we'll get into this, we saw a remarkable change and a shift in how the flow and loading occurred. And we think that is directly the results of some COVID pandemic activity or behavior throughout the year. And it results in, if you'll see at the very bottom, the total of $27.7 million in 21-22 operating budget. That gets allocated to the four members according to those numbers above with weightings and so on. The amount that is allocated to Redwood City is higher than it would have been had flow and loading remained unchanged. In other words, Redwood City saw an increase in proportional flow